Let's talk some golf. When I saw that you played in the PGA and shot a 78 in the first round, I was bummed because you know we're rooting for you here back in Lansing. Tell me about your play.
Well, it was a really severe test, obviously. I mean, I think anybody that watched saw that, and I just wasn't sharp. I'm not sharp enough right now, so it was great to go play. You know, I had a great pairing. Played with Brant Jobe and a guy named Fredrik Andersson Hed from Sweden. And you know, those guys, I knew Brant before, but it was a great pairing for me and a great time.
What'd you learn about your game and where you need to be so you could start getting at the top of the leaderboard?
Well, golf. Well, I'll tell you what other guys said that I heard that week. Okay, Brant Jobe told. You know, he's been a friend of mine. He played in Asia and is about my vintage, okay? So we spoke quite a bit as we played, and he said that golf now is kind of turned into X game golf. And what he means is it's gotten so severe. See, now you know, what was the winning score? 8 under?
Yeah.
I think 8. Well, to get the winning score at 8 under, you if the course isn't really hard, you've got to make it silly. So, and I think you saw some of that. So,
what do they do to make it silly?
well, they put 5 inches of powder in the sand traps, so you couldn't really play out of it. Okay? So, you know, it was kind of roulette as to whether or not you got a lie that was good enough to allow you to get out. Okay? So you're in a bunker, or let's say you hit it over a par three in a bunker. Well, short of the par threes are in the water. Well, it's hard to play out of the water, so most good players, if you're going to miss, you're going to miss where you can hit your ball again. So you hit it in the bunker. Well, then now you're downhill, down grain, back to the water with a bad lie. So I saw dozens of guys, including myself, bunker it into the water for their second shot, okay, on a par three. Well, then you got to go to the drop area, which is 100 yards the other direction. See what I mean?
Well, you know,
So.
Dan, there seems to be this conversation among golfers that the people who are empowered to make the changes to the courses, if they make it too easy, there's unbelievable scores made and it doesn't challenge the golfers, or if they make it too tough, you can't score. How do they find a happy median?
Well, they have to quit worrying about their score because, let's say they decide they're going to play it at Atlanta Athletic Club. Okay, well, they know years in advance that they're going to do that. So they have guys that they have committees of men. In this case, it was the PGA of America, get together to decide how they're going to make this a great test. Well, at some point, somebody or some people decided that 5 inches of powder was going to help them do that in the bunkers. So, you know, they order $1 million worth of sand, dump it in, and well, now they can't really go back without admitting that they've made a huge mistake. So they let it run. They let it roll. And you know, it just, you know, guys don't like admitting they're wrong. You know, and when you do that, you usually have a real problem. So, you know, that happens a lot in golf. You know, the USGA does it too. The Masters never does it. Okay? And the British Open, you know, when they had it at Carnoustie that one year, they let it get out of control. But they're pretty smart. They haven't done that since.
All right, Dan.
So, right.
Go
right
ahead, buddy. I'm sorry.
Right now, it's the PGA and USGA that we got to keep our eye on a little bit. So.
And watching the scores, there are a lot of unknowns up there as you look, you know, the final day. There's Davis Love, there's Scott Verplank, but for the most part, a lot of young guns. You know, assess what you saw out there from the guys that were playing.
Well, they're the guys that survived the roulette wheel. It just happened to be those two guys, and it's not two of the top 50 in the world. See what I mean? So you got, you know, how many, there's 20, roughly 24 Ryder Cuppers, European and U.S., right? Okay, well, how many of those 24 made a triple bogey? See See what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or miss the cut. So I think if you evaluated, you know, if you looked, I haven't looked at that because I kind of don't care. Mm-hmm. But I'm aware of the number of guys that just flamed out, you know. So, but, you know, I've heard radio shows and sports talk try to evaluate Tiger, of course, because that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't evaluate him based on what he did there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that place was overly difficult for silly reasons. And if you weren't sharp, it was really, really difficult. Or if you were a guy that used to gambling a little bit to get your result, usually you got pounded at this place. So guys like Verplank that kind of dink it straight and their miss is never long, okay, they surfaced. I mean, I played a practice round with Duffner. I don't know this Keegan Bradley guy, but I've played Verplank. And, I mean, I know how they play. They're real calculated and smart, and they kind of got through. So that's what you saw. You know, the PGA, you know, Keegan Bradley, you know, that didn't help them to have that kid in. You know, they kind of needed bigger names in there. I haven't seen the ratings, but, you know, it couldn't have been too high.
All right. I'm going to get you back on. I want to talk more golf, but I'm kind of pressed for time now. It's always good talking with you. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. I'll be calling you early this week. Thank you.
Yeah, Tony. Talk to you later.